This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're with The Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng, joined by Lin Mark and Shahriz Abdullah. Astro announced its quarterly results and net profit fell 35% year-on-year. This is due to increase in financing costs as well as an unfavorable foreign exchange.
Mm-hmm. Quarterly revenue also fell 1.5% to 1.4 billion ringgit. So this was attributed to a decrease in subscription revenue, but offset by higher merchandise sales as well as a production service revenue. Astro also attributed the decrease in quarterly subscription revenue to lower package take-up. So the pay TV average revenue per user remained flat at 99.9 ringgit for the quarter.
They've declared dividend for the fourth interim at 1.5 cents per share payable on the April 25th. This brings the total payout of the financial year 2019 to 9 cents versus the 12.5 cents for 2018. Again, for the full year, we're talking about the net profit came in 40% lower on year at 463 million ringgit. All this was attributed to higher sport content costs, employee separation scheme, and also the forex losses on the financial lease liabilities.
That's right. The FIFA World Cup happened last year, and that was very expensive.
Yeah, that's right. So, and on top of that, I think there's also the RTM who also bought rights to showcase, to sort of broadcast the FIFA on the RTM 1 and RTM 2.
Yeah, I don't think they bought rights so much as the communications minister announced that it would be streamed as well on all RTM services. And that really did undercut Astro, because previously Astro had an exclusive right to show the World Cup here in Malaysia.
So they have 5.7 million customers, subscribers, Astro that is. The question right now is, where does Astro go from here? Because there are so many options today for customers, YouTube, Netflix, and on the margins, Apple TV, as well as the other one, Disney. Disney is coming up with their paid subscription program.
Absolutely. I mean, based on this report, we could see that, based on this news, we could see that revenue is falling, and one of the attribution is because lower subscriber. And there's a lot of options are becoming very apparent, and I think, you know, subscribers, they have different options. They are looking at option, for an example, alternative like Enjoy, for an example, a much more slim version of Astro, for an example. So,
Cost less too
as well.
Because I think it's free and it's pay-per-view, right?
That's right. And so I think the only thing that is holding a lot of subscribers to Astro is still the sports channel, isn't it?
It's interesting. Actually, do the two of you still watch Astro? Because I find that I don't really. I've transitioned almost completely over to online streaming services like Netflix. And I guess I'm certainly not the outlier here, particularly amongst the millennial generation. So it's really interesting to see how Astro is going to recapture that segment of the population. What else can they bring to the table that other international big tech companies like Netflix and Amazon, what they haven't already started doing and are doing really well?
And there's also Astro has responded to this. They have introduced they have begun their digital transformation, for example, introducing Astro on the Go. But Astro on the Go, as you know, if you compare it with other application, they are not as sophisticated, I would say, or maybe user-friendly, as I would say. So I guess there's still a lot of work to do. They are exploring those digital platforms for them to be able to compete.
Yeah, I've cut the cord a long time ago, and now my time is split between Netflix and YouTube. Mm. You know, the owner of Netflix, one of the richest people in the world today, was asked who his competitors are. And he famously said, it's sleep, right? Sleep is not YouTube. It's actually sleep. Sleep is one of the big competitors of Netflix. But Astro is trying. I mean, they've also gone, lowered the ticket size by having those boxes. The Chinese programs can't be replicated in a convenient way, I guess. But, you know, there are all those boxes that are being sold for 300 ringgit and a pop. And you don't have to, you know, pay Astro for those things. I guess Astro wants the government to clamp down on that.
Yeah, so MCMC, I think several months ago, has announced that this is an issue that they want to address. I mean, it is costing the country millions of dollars, millions of ringgit. Again, it is taking part of Astro's revenue, because the option is that instead of paying full price for Astro, instead pay an annual much lower fee to all these illegal sort of broadcasters.
Or don't pay at all, because, you know, pirated content is very easily available on the internet. And it doesn't seem like a lot when you take it per individual user. Like, okay, you know, if I watch one pirated movie, how much is that going to cost? But if you take it as a society, as a whole, it's really quite amazing how much piracy costs. I believe one of online TV and movie piracy took away an estimated $32 billion in global revenue last year, and it's estimated to grow. So it's estimated to reach about $51 billion by 2022.
Okay, Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng, he wants to disrupt something that's very different, which is cash. He wants people to, Malaysians especially, to stop using cash, and says that Malaysia is well on its way to become a digital and cashless society because 91% of Malaysians have a bank account.
Yeah, so Bank Negara statistics have shown that there is a drop of cash circulation from 7.7% to 7.4% last year, attributed to the increase of mobile and online payments. Of course, the IMF standard on a cashless society, which is what our finance minister is aspiring to, is at a 2% cash circulation. So we do have a little bit of a ways to go yet.
Yeah, and looking at the statistics, Bank Negara is saying that 92% of Malaysians already have access to bank accounts, with 91 of them having access to online banking. Looking at other options here, we're talking about There is this new app, which is call it Do It Now, which has partnered with 11 banks in Malaysia. They are the largest shareholder being one of them, being Bank Negara. The application allows ease of transfer between banks without the use of bank account numbers, and they do it through identification means like mobile phone number and also your IC.
Yeah, for sure. Mobile phone will make it a lot easier to transfer money. And I guess I'm saying that the only true test of whether we are a cashless society is when I'm able to pay for my char kway teow using a QR scan.
That day has
to be soon.
For me, it'll be chendol.
Chendol.
I think we're nearly there. I mean, with things like GrabPay, Maybank, QR Pay, there's a lot of options now that even the smaller players are starting to adopt. The other thing that the finance minister said during his announcement of this effort to disrupt cash completely is that a cashless society would be able to stamp out corruption. I don't really know what you think of this. I'm inclined to be doubtful that it will stamp out corruption entirely, because it very much feels like here in Malaysia we don't see so much of cash corruption, because that's what happens at the lowest entry
copy
level.
Money.
Yeah, copy money.
Under the table,
you know,
paying money.
Paying to get your driver's license.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the big fish is really things like, you know, directly negotiated contracts. It's contract selling between companies or inflated bonds. So that's something that I don't really see will be completely eradicated by just going cashless.
Yeah, but it's all about structure and policy, mm-hmm. right? Not really actually clamping down on the money transfers.
Yeah, and I think, I think moving forward, cashless would enable the government to track better where money is flowing. I mean, of course, there's You can come up with all the solutions we want, but eventually there's always another way around it, especially when you've decided, you know, that you are corrupt and, yeah, you want to get...
I'm sure you decide way before that. Perhaps for Jolo, when he was already a kid, he decided that he wanted to be a billionaire.
In that case, I mean, surprisingly, he was easily detected. Apparently, the money flow was everything
digital. Oh, yeah, you can't run away from
that.
Okay, the other thing that Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng said is that Malaysia's 200 billion yen 10-year samurai bonds have an effective cost of nearly 4% after swapping for currency foreign exchange. Recall that the earlier interest rates or coupon rate for that particular bond is quite cheap. It's only about 0.65%. But adding the security of, exchange rates that are not volatile, it comes up to about 4%.
Yeah, so the finance minister said that the government is confident that the ringgit and not just the yen can appreciate over the years, and also that the 10-year tenure provides room for the government to react towards market movements.
So, yeah, I guess for the first time, I mean, we're looking at, if we look at the market, I mean, the Forex for Japan, the yen versus Malaysia, it is volatile in some way, but in some, if you look at over the period of time, it is quite stable.
Long term, over the long term, over the last 10 years, it has been hovering around the 370 to 380 level. So therefore, maybe the principle here is that don't hedge, right? Hedging would push it up to 4,000. I'm not, 4%. I'm not sure if this is just Lim Guan Eng doing the math or there's an actual contract for the currency swap. All right, we're coming up to the 9 a.m. news, and stay tuned after that for market updates, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.